a wild one at Camden Yards. It's the seventh inning. The Blue Jays currently lead the Orioles 9-8, but the Orioles have the bases loaded and one out in the eighth inning. They've already scored three in this inning. So Cedric Mullins is up, and Cedric Mullins has had a heck of a game with the glove. He's got two hits with the bat. Jordan Westbrook, two more hits, including a homer in this one. Jordan Westbrook's on fire in July. Jackson Holliday, a couple hits. Adley Rutschman has driven in a couple runs in this one. It's been a wild, wacky game. The Orioles have nobody who can pitch, though.
Well, I mean, look, we talked about it a little bit on the show late last week and a little bit the other day. This bullpen is obviously going to be in major transition.
Yes.
And Corbin Martin worked himself into quite a jam last night and then got swing and miss to get out of it and got swing and miss against a guy who hasn't been swinging and missing a whole lot lately in Pichette. At least he hadn't up until that point. Now he seems to be doing quite a bit.
Swing at a ball over your head.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Like, he's, I guess, their closer for the foreseeable future. Cano is obviously really struggling. They're going to be stuck with him, but he might be headed back down to the minors for other people to get opportunities. Like, they're going to really lean into Cade Stroud. I mean, look, how about Brandon Young?
Yeah, he gave him six innings. I was shocked. Because remember, early on, he did not look good.
No.
Yeah.
So he's been okay two out of the last four. Like, you've got to just roll with that. I'd still rather watch that than watch Sagano or watch Eflin nibble and try to stay off the IL or what we've been doing. Like, and I mentioned Brandon Young in connection to the bullpen because I think next year, if they have a real rotation, he'd be in the bullpen.
Yes.
Now, I don't know that they're going to have a real rotation because I don't know if they're going to have a real GM. But, like, those are the kind of things that I'm going to be keeping, you know, my closest eye on from here on out. One or two of these kids might be more interesting than we thought, might have a role on the team next year. We'll see. You know, they seem to like the Wolfman. They seem, you know, they really want this Stroud thing to work. Like Corbin Martin, maybe all the injuries are behind him now. And he's become what they thought he might have been in Houston 8 years ago. Like, we'll see.
Well, bullpen especially is going to be the land of opportunity. You already traded away three guys. We'll see if Kittredge or someone else gets dealt. But can one of those guys prove that they can stick? And starting pitching, you hope that they can trade at least one or two of those guys. Maybe Slim when he gets back. How is he going to handle this run? Pitching in general and Mike Elias or whoever, they have a lot to do in terms of pitching acquisitions this offseason. You're going to have to completely revamp the bullpen, and you're going to have to get multiple starting pitchers.
Well, to your point, Bone, like, can one of these guys stick? Well, baseball history has shown us, like, hey, who was Brian Baker, for God's sakes? Like,
sure.
One of these guys could stick. It's a matter of will they stick. But you're absolutely right. This is going to be the land of opportunity because we're seeing it the last couple of days. And by the way, Yennier Cano stinks. He's the only guy left. He gave up five earned in two-thirds of an inning today. Like, he can't find the plate. When he does, he gets crushed.
So let's go. Let's transition to the starting pitching of it all. Do you two think there's a realistic chance that by 6 o'clock tomorrow, he has acquired someone for this year and next year, and maybe the year after that, starting rotation?
I don't see it. Like, who are they giving up to get that guy?
That's my question. Have plenty to give up.
I'm saying, who is he giving up to get?
He just drafted seven of the top 90 kids in the draft. He's got plenty to give up.
But what he could, my point is, he doesn't.
Everybody said the Royals had no farm system. They went and got Urcig, who people would say was a top three reliever available at the deadline last year. You can always make it happen.
You're not hearing me, though. He doesn't do these things, is what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying, don't say he can't.
No, he doesn't.
I don't want that to be inferred that, like, he doesn't have enough, or you've always got enough.
Please don't misinterpret. I don't see him giving up something that he covets.
So when's he going to do it? If he's still, then he's going to sign him? Because he never agrees with the value that other teams give pitchers. He's telling this billionaire, that was a stupid contract. That was a bad contract. All they won was the press conference. They're not going to win any games with that guy. Oh. They're not going to win in October with that guy.
That was a ball outside.
Like I'm starting to think, because I've read this in more and more places and showing up on different people's Twitter feed. Like, clearly he wants it out there that he's trying to do it. And there is a part of me that thinks he may do it because that might be one of the only ways he can keep his job.
Well, if he did it, that would at least show that it would be something different, that he's at least changing at this point. Because for him to go out and make an impact trade at the trade deadline, during a deadline in which you're a seller, but it's a future thinking move, like, it wouldn't make much sense, because the past couple of deadlines when you were a buyer, you didn't take advantage of that opportunity. So why am I supposed to believe now when you're a seller, he's going to make that type of move?
Can I quickly update you on what's going on in the Oriole game? So the Orioles had the bases loaded, one out, down 9-8. They had scored three runs in the seventh inning. Cedric Mullins struck out. Ramon Laureano then pinch hit for Daniel Carlson. He worked the count to 3-2. One of the balls during that count was a touch outside. The ball that they called strike three was another ball outside than the one he got a ball on early in the count, but they rung him up on it. So instead of a tie game, he strikes out looking, and it's 9-8 heading to the eighth.
If this was...
The All-Star game.
If this was Nafuk against whatever, I'm trying to think of Toronto's AAA team.
What's Paul Tuckett now? The Woo Sox.
They don't exist
anymore. The Woo Sox.
But if this was the International League... This game, the a run would have scored and the Orioles would still be up.
Yep.
Well, what game was it they played so many the past couple of days with the doubleheader? Monday, when there was the ball, the pitch that was basically middle, and it was called a ball.
A ball, yeah.
And Adley's even looking back like, what, dude? I think it was Adley. Yeah. Right now?
It's embarrassing.
What? Oh, no. Yeah, that was.
The technology exists. It has existed. It's worked incredibly at the AAA level, and then they let the genie out of the bottle and let the people who hadn't been, like mainstreamers, see it for themselves in the All-Star game, and it's like, and now you're going to reel it back, and we're playing the most important games of the year, and we got to watch garbage like this.
It's frustrating.
It's ridiculous.
It is incredibly frustrating.
But it's MLB.
Hey, can I
go Bryce Harper?
Can I mention Cedric Mullins now 9-for-20 on this homestand with that strikeout? He's on fire, and he's made like three incredible catches
on
the homestand.
He literally climbed the wall, like scaled the wall to bring one back.
I do want to mention. I think Jordan Westberg listens to this show, because a few weeks ago you killed him about his plate and discipline and what he
go back a calendar year and he had a 280 on base.
He's got coming into today, his OPS this month was 898. He's 2-for-4 with another home run today. He has been on fire this month.
I mean, he needs to play regularly. He needs to stay healthy, and he needs to work counts. If he works counts, the power and all that stuff is going to be even more of a weapon for him. But he's got to get on base more than 28% of the time.
Well, he's got, in his last three games, he's now got 9 hits.
That's good, Bob.
That's good, Bob. Really good.
And look, he is a part of the core.
Yes.
I just think the core is like,
I've got
two guys, and like Jackson will get there, but I'm not saying he's there now, but I have no doubt that he will be there. The problem is does he really start to peak 2 years from now, and Gunner's already gone? So is that a core? I mean, you tell me.
Right now I got a core of three, and it's Gunner, Jackson, and Westberg. Yeah. Then there's a bunch of other dudes. I would say I'm more optimistic than Jason is, but that's still a core three ain't winning you a whole lot.
No.
And they're not, they've won a whole lot lately, winning 5 in a row, but they had themselves a 5-3 lead. If you're just tuning in, Yennier Cano gave up 5 earned in 2/3 of an inning, so they went from being up 5-3 to being down 9-5. They scored 3 in the 7th, now 9-8, had the bases loaded, 1 out, did not score again. 9-8 heading to the 8th, or the Blue Jays bat, and we'll see if the Orioles pitchers, because remember, they've traded through relievers in the last couple weeks, if this skeleton crew of bullpen arms can get Blue Jays hitters out and keep it at 9-8.
Yeah, and obviously they're off tomorrow. And next time they play baseball again, they will have had plenty of time to reshuffle the deck on their roster, because the deadline will have been passed.
Ton of guys in Chesapeake.
Yeah. Waiting. Reinforcements.
waiting.
By the way, 4A team, half a 4A team in Chesapeake.
Did you say that there's only 3 games tomorrow in baseball?
Yes. Seems weird, but
it does.
Trade deadline day Thursday, there are just three ball games.
That's incredible. Trade deadline is at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
I'll be on two of them.
Two of those three games?
It's looking that way.
Ah. What's our guy G-Unit going to do? Three games.
That's a five-second podcast.
Maybe he'll do some. He might dabble with some Mexican league, maybe a little KBO. I should ask him. Yeah, that's going to be.
He does every game, right?
He does every game.
Every game but three. I mean, that's child's play. Yeah,
he could do an hour on each game.
Coming up next, let's get to the Ravens. They're back out on the practice field. By the way, Cordell Woodland has clarified for us that three padded practices in a row is allowed. That's the max. So the Ravens are allowed to do three padded practices in a row as they are on the field in pads today. He'll join us at 5:30. But coming up next, you want to hear from Adafe Owe and Mike Green? They spoke yesterday. They join us next here on The Fan.